Something I've thought about for a while now, and wasn't really sure how or when I was going to do this. I get these ideas in my mind of lessons to do and things that I want to study on, and oh yeah, I'll do that, and I start on it, and I don't really like that, and then I decide to go with something else. And this has been on my mind for a while. Then I was sitting in my shop one night working on something, had a football game on. It was actually OSU and Missouri State game. Logan would appreciate that. It went to commercial, and there was these kids selling lemonade outside their house. You've probably seen it. This lady comes up, she asks for a cup of lemonade. And mom comes out about that time, she pulls out a big old blue solo cup. It's massive. She says, I got this. She takes both the pitchers of lemonade that she has and she pours it in that big solo cup. She hands it to the lady and tells the kids, time to pack up, let's go. And then there's this big, make room for Sunday. And I thought, woohoo! She's going to church. This lady's got her kids. She's got her priorities right. She's heading to church. Good for her. Good for her. And I was excited and for about a split second. And then I was let down because it ended up being a commercial for a DirecTV NFL Sunday ticket. You see mom and kids plop down on the couch and start watching a football game. And you know what? It hurt. I don't know why. I don't know why it hit me that way, but I was really let down. Really let down. And as Garland would say, it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. And it did. And so I thought, I bet you I can tie that into denying yourself. Tying into Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Because how is it that we get so caught up in this world that we put God on the back burner? We take the room that we have for God and we fill it with earthly pleasures. We fill it with sitting down, watching TV. Not that there's necessarily things wrong with that, but you think about Sunday. I think about Sunday morning. I think about the Lord's Day. I think about being at church and being with y'all. So what can happen if we put these pleasures in front of our God? We decide to maybe skip a service here and there. Maybe come to church a few times a month, a couple times a month. Then maybe we come once a month. We follow our own desires and then we get wrapped up in worldly things and we lose our way. And why does that happen? The first thing that come to mind, and we're not going to, this isn't what we're going to talk about this morning, but I think it's a pretty obvious thing that one reason why this happens is because Satan is alive and well. And he doesn't want us to have a relationship with God. He'll do whatever he can to get in our way, stop us from coming to church, stop us from studying, stop us from fellowshipping with like-minded Christians. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what I really want to focus on this morning, like I said, is Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And I feel the reason that we don't, or that we let things get in our way from serving the Lord the way that we should, is because we don't deny ourselves. We don't take up our cross. And we don't continuously follow him. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Then we're going to read Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And then we're going to read Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. See, Jesus lays out the principle of discipleship in this verse. But something that we need to understand before we get into this is we don't come to God on our terms. We come to God on His terms. Because God isn't He's not a bargain guy. He doesn't do deals. We're not going to a garage sale and garage selling. He doesn't agree on a middle price. He doesn't start at 100%, you offer 50% and settle on 75%. He starts at 100% because he wants 100%. He wants our all. He doesn't want half of us. He doesn't want three quarters of us. He wants it all. His words come after me are meant for everyone in any walk of life. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. He wants you. He wants you to come after him and follow him. Whether it be the initial decision to surrender your life to Christ for salvation, or maybe to a Christian, it could be a renewal of a call to a life of daily obedience to Christ. Maybe we've lacked and we've fallen back and we need that renewal. I mean, we're under constant temptation day in and day out. Everything that we do. And that can make it hard to place our own will above God's will. Sometimes it's hard for us to even show up, you know. I mean, with the different things that we have going on in our lives. And sometimes I think we need a reminder that we're seeking Him and following His will, not our own. If you want to follow me, here is what I require of you. Deny yourself. Lay something down. We're called to lay something down. We're called to lay our lives down for Jesus. So what does that mean? To deny yourself. Before we get into what it does mean, I want you to understand what it doesn't mean. He's not talking about denying ourselves a donut, like you're going on a diet. I'm not going to eat a donut today. I'm going on a diet. That's not the way it works with the Lord. He's not talking about denying ourselves of necessities or even luxuries. And he's not talking about giving something up for Lent or even a New Year's resolution. Because Jesus isn't only concerned with what we do, but more importantly, what we are. He's talking about denying self. Denying self means that we renounce our right to ourselves, the right to rule ourselves. The phrase deny himself literally means to completely disown, to utterly separate oneself from someone. You think about that for a minute. Completely disown, to utterly separate oneself from someone. So you have to separate yourself from yourself, if that makes any sense. And it will in just a minute when we get down here and we talk about this a little bit more. We talk about separate ourselves when we're in Romans chapter 6. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But it's the same word used to describe Peter's denial of Jesus outside the high priest in Matthew chapter 26, verse 34. Each time he was confronted about his connection with Jesus, Peter more fervently denied knowing him. So it's not denying self, it's dying to self. And this is what I was talking about. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And also in Romans chapter 6, we're going to skip down a little bit in verse 11 through 12. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye obey it in lust thereof. If you're a Christian, the old man is dead and gone. That was the old you. Don't turn back to it. You're dead to that sin. That old man is gone. He's been taken away, and you're a new creature. We are to live. We are now alive to God through Jesus' shed blood. And again, don't go back to your sins. Don't go back to your sinful ways. And we are to make no provision for the flesh. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Just as I said earlier, we can't come to God on our terms. We can't make excuses for our sins and tell the Lord that, well, you know, I was having a hard day and so I went and did this. And we make no provision for that. No provision for sin. A sin is a sin is a sin. To deny oneself means to follow the example set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in coming to the world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him in the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of cross, even the death of the cross. You see where I've underlined there? He made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself a form of a servant. He was a servant. He served people. And he humbled himself. I think those three things right there are things that we could probably all work on. I mean, I've been humbled. Do I stay humbled? Not every day. I'll let my pride get in the way. I'll let things get in my way of being a humble man. We are to live our lives as one alive to God, but dead to sin and to the world. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Live life for the Lord. Let the things go that bring you down, and live by faith. You know, What does all this mean in a practical sense? When you're talking about denying yourself and dying to self, I actually found a quote from a man named Craig Giannani. I think that's how you say it. I actually think it was probably out of a sermon that he gave. Don't know the man, don't know where he come from, but I found this very interesting, and I think it really kind of puts it into focus of how you are to die to self and what it means. If when you are good, evil is spoken, and when your wishes are crossed and your advice is disregarded, and your opinions are ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart and even defend yourself, but you take it patiently in loving silence, then you are dying to self. And when you lovingly and patiently bear any disgrace, any irregularity, any annoyance, when you stand face to face with extravagance and folly and spiritual insensitivity and endure it as Jesus did, that is dying to self. And when you are content with any food, any money, any clothing, any society, any solitude, or interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. And when you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or record your own good works, or itch after commendation from others, and when you truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you see your brother prosper, see his needs wondrously met, and can honestly rejoice with him, with his big house, his nice vehicle, his big pool, or whatever it may be, without feeling envy, and never question God, though your needs are greater and still unmet, that is dying to self. Now, when you can receive correction and reproof from someone of less stature and admit that he is right and find no resentment or rebellion in your heart, that is dying to self. I thought that that was pretty good. If you could do all those things, stay humble and keep your pride in check, that's dying to self. Doesn't sound easy, does it? It sounds hard. And that's because it is hard. That's because self doesn't like to be denied. Self wants what it wants, and it wants it now. But until we can do that, until we can die to self, we can't possibly follow after Jesus like he desires for us to. Secondly, we're called to lift something up. If anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross. So we're asked to take up our cross. And again, we're going to discuss what the cross isn't. You've heard the phrase, that's my cross. That's my cross right there. The friend or the husband, the wife or the wayward son that's lost that you haven't convinced to come to church or to get in the word, that's my cross right there. I'm carrying that cross. I'm trying my hardest to get them here. But it's not that. That's not your cross. Your difficulties, your health, your bad situations you face in life, these things, these burdens are not your cross, and that's not what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross. Because the cross is not just a place of suffering. It's a place of death. Didn't go through all that, did I? In the MacArthur New Testament commentary, John MacArthur writes, "The cross was a very concrete and vivid reality. It was the instrument of execution reserved for Rome's worst enemies. It was a symbol of the torture and death that awaited those who dared raise a hand against Roman authority. Not many years before Jesus and the disciples came to Caesarea Philippi, 100 men had been crucified in the area. A century earlier, Alexander Janus had crucified 800 Jewish rebels at Jerusalem. And after the revolt that followed the death of Herod the Great, 2,000 Jews were crucified by the Roman proconsul Varus. Crucifixions on a smaller scale were a common sight, and it has been estimated that perhaps some 30,000 occurred under Roman authority during the lifetime of Christ. You see, back then when someone took up their cross, they carried it. They didn't drop it. They didn't come back and get it later. They suffered on that cross and they died on that cross. So when Jesus says that we're to take up our cross, he's saying that we are to live as a dead man, dead to self. Just as we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 7, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We're to take up our cross and follow Jesus. He doesn't want us to back out, to turn around, and he most certainly doesn't want us to lay down our cross. Once we make the decision to take up the cross and follow him, we die to self and live for Christ because we are risen with him in baptism, giving all for his glory, holding nothing back, no turning back, just a steady, humble walk that follows his footsteps and his path through this world. You know, Jesus said this. He said it as simply as he possibly could, or as simply as it could possibly be said in John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Where I am, there my servant will be. Let's look at that for a minute. John chapter 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto him, unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold me in glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus is referring to heaven. He wants his believers and his followers to be in heaven with him. Thirdly, we're called to live something out. Follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him follow me. Jesus literally means, let him follow me day by day. Not just when it's convenient for us. And if we look back at Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's day to day, every day, all the time, 24/7. To be a disciple of Christ is to be continually following after Christ, after Jesus. It's a way of life. It's to be our pattern for living. If a disciple is a follower, then we as Christians are disciples of Christ, then logic would have it that we are willing to be led. We're willing to be led in places that we don't understand. We're willing to be led places that are dark and scary. We're willing to be led where it might be painful and unpleasant. I know maybe that sounds kind of weird, but I believe that different walks in life, different stages in our life, different stages as a Christian, as you get older and you go through different things. You know, as a teenager, you're going to deal with certain things. As you get to your 20s and 30s, you deal with different things. And as you get 40s and 50s and so on, you deal with different things. And I believe that the Lord works in your life in different ways as you become a stronger Christian. And so we need to be willing to be led wherever he follows, because he has us there for a reason. Even though we may not understand why we're there, he has us there for a reason. And we're willing to be led because we trust and follow the Lord who is our shepherd. In Psalms 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If we follow the Lord in the manner that he wants, we have nothing to fear, but we have to fully trust in him. We have to fully let ourselves go. We have to fully deny ourselves and die to self. A bit of a recap on what we've discussed. If anyone will come after me, deny yourself, lay something down. You have to die to self and lay your life down for Christ. You have to lift something up. Take up your cross. You have to take up your cross and not set it down, not come back to it. Pick it up and keep it up there. You're dead to the old you and live in Christ. Follow me. You have to live something out. You have to follow Christ. We have to be willing to be led. We need to let go and let God, let Him take over our problems, because we can't fix them. We can't fully fix them on our own. We need to trust in Him so that we can follow where He leads and live out a life for Christ. No one said the Christian walk was easy, because it's not. It's a daily thing. It's something that you have to do every day. It's not like playing a sport where you practice for 3 months and play for however many months and then maybe you set it down. It's something we work on every day, day to day, all the time. And it may not be easy, but I can promise the end reward is better than anything you can imagine. Anything that you could physically have on this earth is nothing compared to what heaven will be like. Nothing compared at all. So something to think about. During the early years after Christ's resurrection and ascension, following Jesus was essentially a suicide mission. Christians had to be willing to die, both figuratively and literally, in order to follow Him. Jesus wasn't just part of their lives or once a week routine. He was their life. They didn't care about possessions, careers, or petty things. They only cared about following Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, we may never have to face the level of persecution that the early Christians did, yet Jesus' call still stands. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What would it look like if we actually had this level of commitment? What if instead of working to achieve our own comfort, we embraced a higher purpose? What if the desire to follow Christ and tell others about His goodness was so powerful that we would be willing to face any level of persecution? What would that be like? Think of the difference that it would make in your home, the difference it would make in the church, the difference it would make in this community. I don't know. Maybe people would start making room for Sunday. But instead of watching football, make room for Sunday service. Make room for God, more importantly, whether you're here Sunday because you're not here Sunday because you're sick, or maybe you have to work and you can't get out of it. You know, that's understandable. But make room for God. Because if you don't make room in your life for God and you fill it with other things, there's no space for God to come back and be in your life, because you've already filled that space up. It's already gone. You need to make room for God. And these things that we've discussed, dying to self, taking up our cross, and following Jesus every day, all day, 24/7.